Not sure if I was offered gum out of generosity or because my breath smells terribly. You know, there's strings attached to why people are being generous. Maybe they want something, or maybe I've done something. Sometimes it's difficult. I was originally going to keep both, but I'm feeling generous. You can see that. The cat is taking the big one and giving the dog the little mat. That's just, I like memes that put cats down, just in case you haven't noticed that. Or maybe this one. Free snow haul? Free snow? U-Haul? Well, some of us felt that way last winter. I'm praying not this. So oftentimes generosity, there's strings attached, or there's different feelings that come in a context. And I want us to come to a place of healthy generosity this morning. And I think a great place to look to start is in Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. And we're going to start in verse 31, and we're going to read to the end of the chapter, verse 37. And just kind of to give you the beginning part of the chapter to set the scenario of what we're walking into here, the story begins with Peter had prayed for healing over a crippled man, and he was healed. And they wanted to, those in charge in the Jewish community wanted to put him in prison. And so him and his buddy John was guilty by association, and so they were both thrown into prison. And they were asked, hey, listen, if we release you, when we release you, we want you not to say anything about Jesus anymore. And they said, we can't promise that. Jesus has so changed our lives that we have to share about him. And they released him anyways. And then the church gets together to pray. And they got together to pray for boldness, that they wouldn't be afraid of prison or anything that would come their way, that they would continue to do, to be what God had called them to be. And so we pick up the story in Acts chapter 4, starting in verse 31. And it says, after they had prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And then they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possession was his own, but they shared everything that they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. There was no needy person among them, for from time to time, those who owned lands or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone as he had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, who the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned, and he brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. There's a couple of things I want to look at in this passage of Scripture this morning. And I know it's a short one, and that is on purpose to get us to a place of healthy generosity quicker. And these three things I see here. First is generosity is prompted by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit leads us to dot, dot, dot. And the first thing we see here is sharing. The second is this extreme sense of generosity. And we're going to look at all these together. So the first I want to look at is the Holy Spirit. And we have four values at our church. The first is we will love NIAC. The second is we will listen to the Holy Spirit. The third is we will change, we will listen to God, we will change the work of the Holy Spirit, and we will invest in people. And I think all of them are represented here this morning. I'm having trouble. There we go. It starts with prayer. And we created these values on purpose and to kind of reframe our concept of what it means to interact with God. Oftentimes, the word prayer invokes in us having a conversation with God, and that's it. A one-sided kind of mentality. I give my request to God, and he may or may not answer them. But really, we believe that prayer is a dialogue. And so when you go into a place of prayer, we're putting ourselves in a position to talk, but then also to hear from God, and he speaks to us in a bunch of different ways. And so the apostles and all those in the community at the time, they put themselves in a place of praying together. They got into a space to ask God for something, boldness, and to sit and wait and listen. And then they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And this is the same group of people who a couple chapters earlier were filled with the Holy Spirit. So what does that mean? Can you be filled with the Holy Spirit multiple times? And the answer is, biblically, yes. The Holy Spirit comes into your life at salvation, but you can be filled multiple times. And actually, he wants to fill you multiple times. And we see in this filling that something changed in the environment and in them. All right? When we're asking the Lord to fill us, oftentimes there's something he wants to do in us and do through us. And so they put themselves in a place to sit and to listen, and God showed up. Imagine that. He did what he said he was going to do. As they were praying for boldness, they got up after the filling of the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with boldness. They asked for boldness, they received boldness. It was a very simple request, but it had a very profound impact. And so this whole generosity thing, in my mind, has to start with the Holy Spirit. You can be generous without the Holy Spirit, but you can be generous in the wrong things or for the wrong reasons. If your generosity starts and ends with the Holy Spirit, generally God is going to prompt you to the right generosity. And that's really what we're looking for here this morning. A couple years ago, Annette and I had a family member who was in need. They were going through some transitions, and some things just weren't adding up financially. And they kind of reached out to the family and said, if you know anybody who could help us, just let us know. And both Annette and I felt like, we need to give to our family. This is what family does. We need to do this. And so then what are we going to give? And privately, I had set like a number in my mind that was above and beyond what we could really give. And I was actually afraid to go and tell Annette, hey, I think God is telling us we're supposed to give this amount, because I didn't want her to freak out. So she's the accountant in our family, and she does all the bills. And if I said, hey, this is what I think God's, I would send her into a place of chaos. How are we going to pull this off? Are you sure it was God? Can we check? Can we recheck? And so I came to her and I said, listen, I think God is calling us to give this. And she, her eyes got really big, and she was like, that's what God told me too. Imagine that. We both asked God to speak to us, and he spoke the exact same thing to us. But we were freaking out a little bit because we didn't really have it to give. So it was beyond our means. And we're like, but we were convinced, no, this is what we're supposed to do. So we sent the money off, and I kid you not, the next day, in the mail, we got a check from somebody for the same amount of money that we gave. I understand that those things always don't happen, but I really believe if you put yourself in a place to listen, and there is agreement with what God is saying, he will speak, and you will hear, and he will prompt you what to do. And even if we wouldn't have gotten the check in the mail, we're still convinced that that was what we were supposed to do, and God would have provided another way. It would have been okay. So I believe generosity starts and ends with the Holy Spirit. Secondly, here, there was an attitude of sharing that took off. Imagine that. God is involved, and sharing took place. Generally, when God is not involved, selfishness takes over. It becomes about me. My focus becomes about me. It's very difficult to look at the others. I can see that person in need, but yeah, I got to take care of myself. And that's true. You do have to take care of your needs. But generally, when God is involved, sharing is a natural outcome if he's at the forefront. So their prayers were for boldness. But then God brought them into one heart and one mind. Everything about them as a community was in line with one another. They didn't claim their possessions were their own. And that's a foreign concept for most of us. Maybe that's a hard thing sometimes. I can remember back in my days working with teens, this one of my students showed up, and he had this huge lollipop. It was like this monster lollipop, and he was so proud of it, and he was like, "Pastor Jeff, look at my lollipop." And this kid walks up, and he goes, "Hey, can I have that?" And he was like, "No! It's mine! It's mine!" We have this presence of mine. It's hard. And so it's a foreign concept sometimes to think of my things as others, but that's what was taking place here. Things were no longer the primary important thing. People were. People were the primary piece. It wasn't about possessions anymore. It was about people. They shared everything that they had. Everything that they had. They continued to testify about Jesus, and much grace was upon them. I think it's difficult for those who do not follow Jesus to see those who claim that they do, but then they do not know how to share or to be generous or to line up with the words of Jesus. And we end up sharing a foreign gospel to a world who needs a real gospel. They shared everything that they had, and much grace was upon them all, and much grace was upon them all, and much grace was upon them all, and they continued to proclaim Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. I've been in need numerous times in my life, and last year, about this time, I was driving with Pastor Jaime up to AC Moore to pick up some candles. We needed a couple extra candles, and we're just having a good old time in the car, and we're at the light on 59, and the car in front of us stopped, and I slammed right in the back of them, and I totaled my car. And it was, I know some of you were, you know, prayed for us. And so then I was in need again. And the next day, Pastor Jaime says, "Hey, listen, we're not really using our second car. How about you just borrow it?" And he shared his car with us. And I kept on saying, "Hey, listen, let me give you some money for insurance." And he'd say, "Talk it over with Lydia." It's like, "Hey, Lydia, let me give you some money for insurance. At least let us pay the insurance." No, just, you know, borrow the car. I don't need it. You need it. Every now and then, she would need it for something. They modeled for me for most of the year this concept of what a possession is not as important as people are. They saw our need. My wife Nanny's needs to get around with the kids, but I'm also a pastor and need to get around. And we weren't at the place at that point where we wanted to go and get another car payment. And they saw our need and supplied our need. They had a physical possession that could help us out, and it was a no-brainer for them. Maybe God this morning is saying, you have something that you could share with somebody around you who is in need. Let him speak to you. But then their generosity got extreme in my mind. And as I read through this passage, you know, this is a tough one. But it gets extreme, I think. There was no needy person among them, and they sold lands and houses and brought the money to the apostles and said, "Hey, distribute this to those who are in need." Lands and houses. I know for some of us sitting here this morning, I'm not about to sell my house. And really the concept here, oftentimes the people who were, from what we understand from the historical context, is these were extras. Most of these were extras. Like they had extra land or extra houses, and they thought, "Man, I don't need this extra. I don't. There is somebody in our community who is in need. Let me give the extra so that the person who is in need can have what they need. I have a want. I don't need that want. Somebody has a need. I can supply that need." But it is a little extreme, right? They made that money to buy that thing, whatever it was, that property, that land, whatever it was. But they were prompted by the Holy Spirit to supply that need. I think sometimes this comes up. So then why aren't all Christians communists? I've heard this before. You know, communism is about sharing. It is. Well, I think there's a stark contrast between communism and Christianity. There is the contrast is communism and koinonia. Koinonia is the Greek word for fellowship or sharing with the body. Communism says, what is yours is mine. I'll take it. But koinonia, fellowship, a relationship with God and with others, is what is mine is yours, I'll share it. It's an act of the will. Right? There's a stark contrast. Hey, government, take everything we have so we can parcel it out. Or the Holy Spirit prompting us to be the hands and feet of God. It's a huge difference. And then we have the story of Joseph. And I love that they named him Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. Can you just imagine? Hey, how you doing? My name is Barnabas, son of encouragement. You need encouragement today? Let me encourage you. And Barnabas, I mean, if you can continue to read Acts, Barnabas becomes a heavy hitter and one of the paramount distributors of the word of God throughout all of the known world at the time. He's the one that goes on to disciple the Apostle Paul. But he has this field, and he sells the field and brings it to the apostles. He models it. And so we have an example of it here in Scripture. I love the story. And it's very, very, very difficult. And there are several people who have read these sections of Scripture and thought, man, we are doing something wrong as a church. We got to change our focus. The apostles had to put some parameters into play because people saw what was going on. And anytime there's people giving, there's people who want to take and take what they don't need. And so they did have to put some parameters in place. But we shouldn't let the takers distract us or keep us from not being givers. And I think that happens. Burn me once, shame on me. Burn me twice, shame on you. And we have that concept. And I think sometimes there's something about being a good steward and seeing somebody who's taking and not giving to them. And then there's other times where God is asking us to take a risk. I really believe this. I was a recipient of extreme generosity this year. The end of that story with Jaime's car is I still have it, and he moved to North Carolina. The real story is, though, he wouldn't let me pay for it. He wouldn't let me pay for it. We were ready and willing to pay for it. And he walked in my office one day with the title transfer forms and threw them on my desk, and he'd already signed them. And he walked out, so he didn't have to talk to me about it. And I sat there for like a couple minutes, like trying to figure out what I was reading and what I was looking at. And then I realized, he's trying to give me this car. And so I went downstairs, I went into his office, and I was like, dude, what the heck? And he was like, I was trying to avoid this. Well, you can't avoid it. You just tried to give it to me. He's like, listen, Lydia and I prayed, and we don't need a second car right now. We're saving for a newer car, but we don't need one. And when we move to North Carolina, I'm going to live in a place that's close enough where I can walk or ride my bike, and I'd rather do that for now. So please take our car. And I, to be honest with you, I pleaded with him for like a month. No, come on, dude, just let me pay for the car. And he was like, please accept my gift. I think it's hard. It is hard. Sometimes we're stubborn and we're prideful and we're not willing to take what God is clearly giving. And I just had to stop for a second and just receive and let my brother and sister be generous and live out their generosity. So I want to land with this morning. Super simple, not monstrously profound, but maybe it is. For some of us, would you be willing, as we head into this Christmas season, to create some space to listen to God, first and foremost? We're actually giving you an opportunity next Saturday, if you want, 2 hours, sacred space here at the church. How are you calling me to be generous? This, today, this month, this year? Where are the places of generosity? And I understand that not everybody has a property that they can sell and they can give. And some of us have more financial or physical means than others, but that does not negate us from being able to give. We had a lady walk in last Sunday, and one of the first things out of her mouth was, "How do I become a Christian? Tell me now." And she didn't have a whole lot of give, but she put a little bit in the envelope and stuck it in the offering. And I wanted to go, "No, no, just come and receive today." And she was like, "No, no, I want to give." How is God calling you to be generous? Are you willing to set aside some space this afternoon, this week, to just sit and listen to God? Or when that time arises, can you pray that when that time arises, that the Holy Spirit would clearly speak to you, that you would clearly listen, because your generosity literally can change somebody's life and their perspective and their world. And then Jesus gets the glorification that he's due because he's the one that prompts us. Let me pray for us. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for your love, for your compassion, for modeling generosity to us by giving your life for all of us. Lord, I ask that you would bring us into a place this week, maybe today, maybe tomorrow afternoon, whenever it is, where we would sit and listen, ask how you're calling us to be generous. Lord, we thank you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Will you stand with me as we close in song today?